music, entertainment, black culture. We're listening to,
and I'm counting every one of y'all until I get to a million.
People understand that people have personal boundaries and shit. Yeah. So you just, people respect people's space, but it's definitely a lot of room for rumors to spread fast. I'll definitely say that. You got a major point. But I just got the recording started, so let's hit it with the intro. What's good, everybody? I'm Trey.
It's your boy, Million.
And you have now tuned in to Listening to Millions.
This is deeper than a podcast, y'all. Come sit down with us.
And today we have a very, very, very special guest, Julian Levy. Do you mind introducing yourself?
Of course not, man. First off, I just want to say what's good, y'all boys. Trey and Million. Appreciate y'all having me on the show.
No problem.
My name's Julian Levy. I go by Julian. I'm a rapper. I'm from Coral Springs, Florida, which, if you're not familiar with the area, that's South Florida, Broward County.
Yes, sir. All right. So before we get started, like, with topics and shit, let me tell y'all how we met Julian. So when me and Mill first started recording, like, anything Listening to Millions related, we started doing TikToks. Yep. And we just react to different things, like funny TikToks, music, especially controversial things, like people talking about race and stuff like that. And I just so happened to scroll past one of Julian's video. We're going to insert it in the post-production. And Julian was spitting bars over this. Was it a beat by Jay Black?
Yeah, Jay Black.
It was a beat by Jay Black. And he was talking about, like, marriage and love and stuff. And he had, like, some clever ass punchlines, double entendres. Like, I was like, bro, this dude is dope. And even if y'all want to see that TikTok, it's still on our page, pinned to this day. Like that song was so dope. And then he reached out to us and he was like, yo, like, I'm trying to come on the pod. I see y'all boys growing. Like, let me come on. And we had a couple struggles trying to get him on the first time, but we found a way to make this virtual stuff work, and he here.
One of his best bars was like, even though I may be a little bit trashy, I'm still not disposable or something like that.
Yeah.
That shit was hard, bro. My boy was hard. And that shit touched the core with me, because I was like, bro, like, everybody acts trashy, but, like, that doesn't mean you got to throw them away as soon as you,
yeah, like,
you
every, know, they start. Everybody does some trash shit.
Right. That's facts. Nah, that's love, y'all boys, for real, man. Like I said, I told y'all from jump, when y'all reacted to that video, like, it meant the world to me. Because obviously, like, when you start doing shit, whether it's music, you start up a podcast, like y'all boys are doing, like, obviously your homies are going to support you most of the time. But sometimes that love you get, because I had never met these boys at all. Like, I had no clue who Trey or Millions were. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that love from strangers is different, you know. So
yeah,
that shit, like, I go through such a fight with myself. I'm like, yo, like, should I pursue this shit? Should I not? Is it a waste of time? But, like, shit like that is, like, where I'm like, all right, yeah, like, I need to lock in type of thing. So, like I say, y'all boys, that was honestly a huge moment for me, for real.
Yeah, bro. And honestly, we kept it real with you too, because, like, we reacted to, like, this one white boy that was speed rapping and
yeah,
shit.
He
let him know, like,
yeah,
man,
yeah,
really
that was trash. I mean, we wasn't trash. It was a typical white boy rap. That's what I like to call it.
typical white boys just speed rapping.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing I like about TikTok too, honestly, is, like, if your shit isn't fire, people will let you know. Like, people don't really give a fuck on TikTok. Like, they'll say whatever. So, like I said, the fact y'all boys was showing love, I was like, damn, all right, like, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Had to.
All right, so speaking of TikTok, like, we took a look. You don't have a lot of music out on, like, Apple Music, Spotify, you know, the typical releasing platforms. You have two songs out on SoundCloud, but a majority of the stuff you just do, like, duets to beats on TikTok. Is that, like, your marketing strategy? Like, what do you plan on building through TikTok and then going out and recording more studio tracks? Or is it just one of those things, I got access to it, I'm gonna use it till I can get to the next stage?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So that's where I'm at right now, but that's not how it started. Cause I would say I've been writing for a while. Like, I'd say, like, in high school, I would write from time to time, more so as just, like, a way to express myself, like a therapy type of thing. And I love music, so I'll just write poems and stuff. It started off as just, like, poems. Then I would, like, hear certain beats, and I would write to them. I'd be like, fuck it, I'll write to them. But I would never show anyone. And I'd say once I got to college was when, like, I wrote my first verse to a beat, because I had made a few videos on Twitter. I did a few challenges on Twitter, and this one boy reached out to me. His name's Parker, random ass kid. I think he said he went to UF. So he reached out to me. He sent me a beat pack, bro. And I wrote my first verse to my first beat. It's a song, I'm gonna call it Tired. And yeah, from there, it was just kind of like me building confidence to like let people know I rap. And yeah, from there, I got a homeboy, Jason, who makes beats. My homeboy, Taylor, makes beats. So it was just like building blocks for me, honestly, as far as getting up the confidence to actually start rapping for real.
So when you say that, like, you weren't, were you not sure of yourself, like, as in talent wise, let me look at the camera. So were you not sure of yourself as in talent wise, or was it more of those things where you knew you had the talent, but you didn't know if people would receive the music well?
A little bit of both, man. Honestly, like at first, cause I'm not a naturally like confident dude. You know what I'm saying? I'm very more so like, I overthink things for the most part. Like, not that I wouldn't say I'm insecure, but I'm definitely not confident, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So no,
that definitely makes sense.
Yeah. So I would say at first it was just kind of like a thing where I knew I was decent, but I didn't think I was really like that. But like I said, over time, it was just like, it started out, I was hearing people in my area and I was like, you know what I'm saying? Like, some of them sound good, but like I said, like, I take pride in my pen. And I was like, yo, like, nobody's lyrics are really fucking with mine. You know what I'm saying? So over time, it's kind of like I re-realized that, honestly. Because like I said, like, I still to this day, it feels weird calling myself a rapper. But it's like I re-realize it every, like, couple days or every few weeks. You know what I'm saying?
All right. You have something that I want to talk about. Like, you just said something that I want to talk about. But before we talk about that, you said something that struck me, like, confidence. I think that confidence is very relative, just to like to speak on that. So like, let's say you can be confident in certain areas and still not have like confidence all the way around. Like, let's say you may be confident when you're sitting in front of that screen rapping, but when it's time to go up and approach somebody about a business opportunity, you might be a little bit lackluster. I think confidence has a lot to do with being able to be comfortable. And like, you have to be comfortable in different situations in order to have that confidence everywhere. Do you think that when you're writing or when you're rapping, that's like a comfort zone for you?
That's a great question, honestly. Honestly, dog, it may sound crazy, but I would say when I'm writing, no. Like, because most times I'm writing, everything I write is either like autobiographical, like it's stuff that's happened to me, or at the very most, it's stuff that I've been told, like stories I've been told. So I kind of retell them for my friends, type of thing, if that makes sense. So when I write, it's not like I'm writing like, oh yeah, like this is fire, for the most part, at least. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, like a few of my TikTok videos, I'm kind of just like rapping about rapping type of thing. So those, sometimes I'll be like, yeah, this is fire, this is fire. But for the most part, when I'm writing, it's really just a release. And then from there, like, I'll finish and I'll run it back. And yeah, if I think it's fire, it'll stick. But if not, like, I have so many verses that I've just scrapped because I'm like, it did what it needed to do in terms of like me releasing this emotion or this feeling. And I just felt like it wasn't like structurally good. So I'll just like, whatever, I'll scrap it, or I'll just leave them in my notes app, honestly.
Yeah.
So that's like kind of, so you're more like an overthinker when you write your music. That, sure. Okay.
Well, most of the time, because bro, like, for example, the verse y'all reacted to, bro, I wrote that, no exaggeration, in like 10 minutes, bro. Like,
for real?
No, I swear to you. That was one of those things, like, I heard the beat, I was like, yo, this is crazy. And the first line, see, the way I write is like very, like, I feel like it's unorthodox. So when I'm going throughout my days, I'll just think of random bars and I'll write them in my notes app. So that verse, for example, I had the first bar, it was, just because I'm sociable don't mean that I'm approachable. I had it in my notes app for probably like 3 months before I wrote that verse. I heard the beat and that was the first bar I thought of. So I went back to that note and I just wrote the rest of it in like 10 minutes, bro. It just like flowed out. So something like that, I really wasn't thinking about it. It just like bar by bar, it just came out. You know what I'm saying? But then I've had the opposite where I've had a bar, I think of the first bar, and I didn't finish it till over a year later. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it just depends. Yeah.
See, I was just talking to Trey about it. Like, honestly, I see like music right now as like a renaissance, and I see like artists as like modern day philosophers. You like, especially that rhyme that you had did on TikTok that we reacted to, like you was spreading your philosophy throughout your whole entire music. And I was like, damn, that's so cool. Like, I never really thought about music like that.
Right. Nah, 100%. Like I said, everything I write is like my own experiences, my own feelings for sure. 100%.
Exactly. Putting it into a pen.
You guys remember when we tried to have our first conversation, right? And I absolutely shit the bucket. We're at the Coach 30. Like, I absolutely shit the bucket on trying to get the audio together. We were speaking a lot about like therapy and how important it is, especially as Black men, to find the comfort to step out and like go to therapy. So my question to you is, like, I'm not trying to like relive that moment. That was a good moment. We shit the bucket. But do you find like therapy? Because you said you write very autobiographical. Somebody gonna drill me in the comments is whatever, but like, do you think like you use writing as a form of therapy?
Oh, for sure. 100%. Like I said, that's kind of like where the roots of it were. When I was in high school, it'd just be like, I'm feeling this way about this girl or this is going on at home, so I would just like write poems about it. And yeah, still to this day, like if something's really on my head or on my heart, like I'll just write. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that what am I trying to ask? Do you think that you're like when you're rapping, do you like target somebody? Like, are you talking to somebody? Like, do you know who you're talking to, or is it just like, man, I feel this, so it is what it is. If nobody feels it, then it's me. That's all I care about.
Oh, so like in terms of an audience?
Yeah, in terms of an audience, like when you're rapping, do you think about how people will perceive it?
I'd say I started thinking about it since I got on TikTok, obviously, because that's more of like a platform. It's like, all right, obviously, like most of this is kind of for attention to build a platform. But that's the thing where, like, because the one thing about me, I would never release something that I don't think is good. And I feel like my taste in music, and especially my taste in lyrics, I feel like is decent.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that integrity thing. Like, I would never release no shit that I didn't think was like pretty fire. You know what I'm saying? So I would say, first and foremost, I kind of make it for myself, not just as expression, but also something that I think is good. And then from there, in a general sense, I mean, obviously, I don't think my shit is like poppy. Like, I don't think my shit would ever get like played in the club. I don't necessarily think my shit is like prime for concerts. Yeah. So to speak, but more so like an intimate setting, I think is like my bag. You know what I'm saying?
I think you're wrong about that prompt to concerts thing. Like just think about J. Cole or Kendrick or any other lyricists. They're even Wu-Tang Clan, like one of their best talents when it came to rap was crowd engagement. Like, if you watch an old Wu-Tang Clan concert, an old Kendrick Lamar concert, like, even though they're lyrical, they're not really, like, hyping you up, they still understood how to make sure that the crowd, like, enjoyed the engagement that they were having. Like, you dig what I'm saying?
I don't know if I could agree with you.
You can't, bro.
Especially this generation, bro. We got
okay, that's facts. He had a point. You got a point.
This generation, we don't care about lyrics anymore, bro.
But people feel it. You ain't ever watched a J. Cole concert, niggas jumping.
Rage, but they jump to, like, you know, his hyper songs. They're not jumping.
Niggas is jumping to what, Crooked Smile. Niggas love that shit.
That's more.
That's not hype.
That's hype.
It's not.
And see, I feel like it's both. You know what I'm saying? Like, both God boys are 100% correct. Cause like you were saying, Trey, it's kind of like once you build. I grew up millions in the fact that niggas don't care about what Kendrick has to say until he's Kendrick. That's how I feel about it.
Okay.
When you're up and coming and you're kind of like, if Kendrick made To Pimp a Butterfly in 2009, that shit wouldn't have flopped.
That would have flopped.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what I would say, would have flopped, but that shit wouldn't have made no noise. You know what I'm saying? Kendrick had to be Kendrick before he made an album like that for that shit really to be jumping. You know what I'm saying? So
I get you.
I think it's like an in between, because like you said, Trey, J. Cole, the tour I've heard the most about, bro, was his For Your Eyes Only tour. And yeah, that's his most intimate album. There's not really any bangers on there besides maybe like Neighbors, you know what I'm saying? But so I think it's both, honestly. I think y'all boys both make like great points in that.
I'm just saying, like, our generation really don't like the people that's really packing stadiums is the niggas that get shit lit. Playboy but, Cardi, Travis Scott, maybe not anymore.
Travis Scott is still selling out arenas. I don't care what nobody says. Travis Scott still selling out arenas. He has a cult following.
He probably is.
He will, but, for sure.
Like, one of my favorite artists that ever, like, you know, explained how we're how we interpret music is Andre 3000. Y'all know, of course y'all know Andre, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
That Hey Y'all song?
Yeah.
Hey Y'all. You know, he was talking about some depressing shit in that song?
Yeah, I actually just...
But it's the way he delivered it.
Exactly. Yeah. He delivered it upbeat. But I didn't know about that shit when I was 9 years old. I'm just sitting here bopping my head and shit. Like, I was just sitting... But, like, he was just explaining that we don't care about what he's saying. We just care about the feeling of shit nowadays. And that's... There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And... And speaking of feeling, like, this plays into one of the questions I had to ask you. Like, the thing that's taken over Florida rap is, like, y'all's drill scene, trap scene, or whatever. And, like, it's a very violent, very violent brand of rap that's taken over. So when you're trying to find your fan base and find people like us who enjoy what you have to say, like, what do you think of, like, especially when it comes to that area you're in, like, do you feel as if it's hard for you to find people who want to listen to you? Cause all they want to hear is Fulio talk about who he just smoked on.
Facts. Cause you are from Florida. Aren't
yeah.
You?
He from Tallahassee.
You don't sound anything like a Florida rapper, like the Florida rapper.
Like at all.
Right. Yeah. Nah, I definitely agree. I think Florida, I feel like we have a couple sounds, but obviously Kodak has been the biggest thing to come out in my life.
No.
Yeah,
and I think Kodak's a really good rapper. I like him. I'm not like a super fan or anything, but I like Kodak a lot. But yeah, I'm definitely not in that bag. Yeah, I'm not in that bag at all. I would say I kind of just, I don't want to say I'm going to leave it up to fate because obviously I'm trying to put in the work to build my platform, but I feel like the people who will connect, and those who don't want to listen won't listen. And like I said, I'm just trying to build my shit to where it gets to a point where, like, you have no choice but to at least listen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When the Kendricks, when the Cole started, I'm sure it was mad niggas around them that were like, yeah, like, my boy's good at rapping, but they wasn't really hearing what they were saying. You know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those things. I know my style of rap isn't necessarily what's popping, but fuck it. Like I said, first and foremost, I make this shit for me. You know what I'm saying? To release. All right. And shit that I would want to listen to and shit that I think is good. You know what I'm saying? So I just got to trust in my pen at the end of the day.
So when you say that you make this for you, would you be okay with not making a dime from your rap?
100%. My thing is, I want to build my platform. If my platform didn't make me any money, I would 100% be fine with that. Like, 100%. Because I love music, bro. Like, I'm a nerd. Like, this is my favorite thing in the world. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Just as long as, like, I got that connection from people, like, having people reach out to me and be like, yo, like, I fuck with this, I fuck with that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why I do it outside of myself, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I mean, obviously, if I made money off it, that would be cool. I wouldn't mind it, but that's definitely not what's on my mind.
Before I ask my next question, like, I feel like it's hard not to make money nowadays, especially, like, well, I wouldn't say not to, but if you're, like, a social media person and you have, like, a quick knack and that shit catches on, you get 10,000 followers, or even 5,000. I feel like it's always a way to make money online.
Yeah, you start monetizing it.
Yeah, and like,
I want to ask y'all how y'all feel, like, in terms of your podcast, because, like you said, Trey, that's a great point, because on TikTok specifically, once you hit 10,000 followers, you can start to monetize your posts and shit like that.
Yeah.
So obviously, it's like the day I hit 10,000 followers, obviously, I'm going to start monetizing that shit because I can. Right. You feel me? But that's not necessarily why I'm doing it. So, like, what about y'all in terms of your podcast? Would you say, like, if you never made a dime off it, you would still do it just for the love of it?
We was just handling some business yesterday, bro. We was just handling some business with somebody yesterday, and we was just at, like, we had to talk about, like, with the business that we was doing, we had to talk about, like, hey, so what happens if we stop? What would happen if we was to stop? And I had to tell Trav, like, bro, I fucking hate talk about this shit, bro. Cause it's like, I don't want to quit, But it's like you have to have those conversations, just like a marriage or something. Yeah. Like you have to have the conversation of, oh, should there be a prenup or not? You don't want to talk about it. It hurts your feelings to talk about it,
but you have to talk about it.
You have to talk about it. So with us, well, with me in specific, I would love to make a living out of this. My plan B in life is to be a lawyer. This is my plan A, and I would honestly say that I could be depressed if I'm living my plan B.
Yeah.
I would be depressed. I'm not going to lie.
And same thing, like, for me, because, like, we started this purely off of our love, like, my love for music and his love for connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And, like, so, like, we're trying to use music and Black culture as a way of connecting to people and shit like that. So, if I were to, like, as of right now, like, I ain't got no problems not making no money off of it. Because it is what I like to do. Like, it gets my mind off of whatever my mind was on earlier. I get to talk to people, connect with people, and see, like, we're not, although you're from Florida, I'm from Atlanta, we're not that different. You know what I'm saying?
I'm from Colorado.
And we're all able to sit here and coexist at and talk about something we all have a common ground in, Black culture and music. Right. So, in that aspect, like, I absolutely love doing this. So, if I never saw a dime of it right now at 22 years old, that wouldn't bother me. But like you said, like, we had that conversation where we're talking about 5-6 years down the road, and it's like, would I still be podcasting if I wasn't making no money and I got two kids and a wife?
So that hurt my feelings. But I think that's when, like, I think that's when you really become successful, is when you keep on pushing. Like, yeah. Okay, I was watching this movie the other day about what's that guy, the artist that cut off his ear,
Van Gogh.
He did not get a lick of praise while he was alive. Yeah. Like, he didn't get they did not appreciate his art until this nigga was dead.
It's dead, bro.
But he kept on, like, throughout his whole entire life, he kept on pushing his art.
Yeah. And my fault, Brian, I mean to cut you off. What was you about to say?
No. I just say he kept creating.
He kept creating no matter how, like, people was making fun of his art because they were saying, like, oh, you're using too much paint. Why is it like shaped like that and shit like that? He was getting disrespected, but he kept going, bro.
And I say this all the time. Like, I've said this multiple times on this podcast. Sometimes what it takes for people to realize your talent is for you to leave, for you to go, for you to, in this case, like, die. Like, even to the point of, I say this all, I use this example all the time. Do you remember when Pop Smoke was alive? Everybody kept saying, like, his music isn't diverse. He keeps making Welcome to the Party over and over again, like, make a new song, this, that, and the third. He's riding out. But as soon as he died, they respected the craft. They saw the diversity in his music. So that sometimes, which is a strange reality, you have to see people die. And
I think that's a bad example.
But quick side note.
I think that's a bad example. Niggas,
what fault, bro? What you
niggas ain't appreciating Pop Smoke like art, bro. They was just dick riding him for the moment.
But I feel
What do you think, bro? What do you think, Julian? Was they dick riding him, or was they actually appreciating his art?
I think that was a pretty good example, honestly. I feel like, because I wasn't big into Pop Smoke, I'm still not that big into him, honestly. I mean, rest in peace. I love a few of his songs, but yeah, I feel like the energy shift was crazy, though. Like,
yeah,
the shit I would hear before he died was like, oh, like, you heard of this guy Pop Smoke? Like, whatever. Then after he died, I was like, oh, Pop Smoke, like, that's my nigga. Niggas growling and shit. So I feel like Trey was saying, bro, it's just weird. Sometimes you gotta leave to really feel that love, which it sucks, but that's just a sad reality of it.
And like, I ain't gonna cap, this ain't got nothing to do with what we was talking about. I just remember earlier today I was scrolling through Instagram. Actually, my buddy Nehemiah sent it to me we're in a group chat, like, with all my friends from my old school, and it was Joe Biden. And he said the death of George Floyd
was bigger than
the death of Martin Luther King. How do y'all feel about that?
He said that
the death of Joe Biden.
He said
Joe
the death.
Said some wild ass shit.
But I ain't gonna cap.
Don't get me started on Joe Byron, bro. I really don't want to get started on Joe.
Okay,
Byron.
I ain't gonna cap. At first, like, I was arguing with my girl about it. Like, at first, I was like, nah, like, that's not a fact. But if we're thinking about just the death, because Martin Luther King's, what he did in his lifetime was what caused change. Like, George Floyd literally caused change from dying.
I feel that, but nah, bro. I feel like that's not even a conversation, bro. Like, niggas wasn't even close to being alive back then. But I can't even imagine what niggas was feeling like when Mark got murdered.
Yeah.
We, not only that, but then we also have social media now. Exactly. Think about it. Without social media, the world knew that Martin Luther King died.
Yeah.
Right.
And people was crying. Niggas
out like that.
That's what I'm saying. This is another Tuesday.
I mean, if you put it like that, Trey, like, it definitely was a huge moment in time. Like, I think that's gonna be something we have to talk to our kids about for sure.
Yeah,
like, Martin Luther King, bro. Nah, like
that's I ain't gonna.
But you brought up something that was kind of good. You said Biden has been saying some crazy shit. How old are you, my guy?
I'm 24.
So you voted last election, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Who you put in office?
I voted for Biden for sure.
You think you're going back on that?
Nah, not at all.
Even though he's been saying some reckless shit,
you think Joe Biden gonna run? I don't think he's gonna run again.
His old ass is running again. He's the only one that's gonna beat Trump.
Yeah. You think Trump gonna run again?
If Trump runs again, he's winning. I guarantee it. I put Trump, money.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Trump is probably going to run again. And honestly, like Million said, I low-key think that nigga could win again, bro.
Is that scary, y'all?
I'm not super political. I'm not super into politics. I need to be more well-read about it. But my thing is, the president for me is just literally like a puppet. They're just the nigga that when other countries think of America, they say, all right, this is your president. Trump, he's just a little too reckless for me, bro. Like, shit he don't even always be wrong for real, but the shit he be saying is just dangerous, bro. Like,
yeah,
that nigga had smoke for which I think it's North Korea, the one we got smoke with.
Yeah,
when he was saying that shit, I was like, yeah, nah, that's the final straw. That nigga be talking crazy, bro. Like,
and you would be surprised, bro. The way we started this podcast was purely based off of the interactions me and Million had when we was having these political conversations. Really? Like, that's the whole reason why I wanted to start. Yes, like, me and Mill used to go at it. And we'd agree, but have two completely ways about agreeing.
Yeah, I could kind of... Y'all two remind me, honestly, Trey, I feel like it's more so like me. From what I've gathered, from what I've watched from y'all on like other podcasts and the clips y'all post, Millions, you remind me of my friend Chad. And I'm going to show Chad this afterwards.
Explain.
Because, like, for example, I remember when y'all were talking about, like, when you were talking about Kuhn. Both y'all were talking about Kuhn. Like, what is a Kuhn? And you had the viewpoint, like, oh, to me, the biggest Kuhn is, like, a gangbanger. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people would take offense to that. However, Chad, I feel like my friend Chad, I can't speak for him, but I feel like Chad would take a similar viewpoint as you. And I see what you're saying. Like, I definitely see what you're saying. I just think it's dangerous for you to say that because white people who benefit off of black oppression, who benefit off of mass violence, mass incarceration, I feel like they take any sort of black agreeance. And they try to just, you know what I'm saying? They try and just say,
they definitely do wrong with it.
You know what I'm saying? You know what
they
I'm saying?
They do wrong so with it.
It's not even that I disagree with you at all, because I do think the gangbanger that's killing people in his community and that's pushing drugs through, I think that is a coon as well. Mm-hmm. But I just think it's dangerous when we start speaking like that. You know what I'm saying?
I think that is, it needs to be heard though. Like, when's the last time you heard? Nobody says that shit.
But he has a very good, honestly, because when he said, I didn't agree for real, but you can't, he has a very valid point of our words being able to be weaponized. And I still don't think that the gangbanger is the biggest coon in America because
biggest, no. I don't think so.
So who's the biggest coon in America then?
Not to cut you off.
Hold up. Let me finish what I was saying.
Yeah, who's the biggest coon in America?
Not you. Before I answer that question, you were good. But should I point here? Fuck it. The audience, he right here to us. So don't get mad while we looking over here. But to that point, like, I feel like gangbangers are nurtured by the system and to become that. Like, if I see my dad go to jail, I see my uncles go to jail, if those people in my life or the male figure that's in my life, they're all going to jail. What inspiration do I have to be anything other than what I've seen? like the reason why I went to college, joined a fraternity, and wanted to pursue a career is because that's what my dad did. My dad went to college, joined a fraternity, and pursued a career. That's why I have those aspirations. I had a male figure to show me, like, that's what I need to do as a man. If you don't have that figure, how can I fault you for that?
Julian, what do you want to say to that?
No, 100%. Okay. 100%. I do feel like, I don't know if Millions wants to get to this perspective as well. So for me personally, my father's been locked up for 20 plus years. My older brother, he's 5 years older than me. He was in and out for a few years, for like 3-4 years. You know what I'm saying? So technically, as far as men went, because I'm not close with my extended family at all. So within my house, all I saw looking up to was niggas in jail, technically. For me, that was never an option, bro. I've never smoked weed a day in my life. I've never even taken a sip of alcohol a day in my life. Just because I ain't even want to, most of it was I ain't even want to put myself in a position to be caught up in all that. You know what I'm saying? So I love Tyler, the Creator, and he spoke to this. I forget what song it was, but it's just basically about not being that stereotypical product of your environment. I think it is possible to go against the grain. I feel like I'm a testament to that. However, the exception isn't the rule, you know what I'm saying? So I do think Trey's point is correct overall, because I think typically, unfortunately, you are nurtured, you know what I'm saying, in a certain way, and that dictates the trajectory your life goes, you know what I'm saying? So it's just how you look at it. I think it is possible, but just because it's possible doesn't mean that we should ignore the fact that a lot of kids are put in situations where, like, they don't have a real chance, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like how you said the exception should not be the rule. That's deep. That's deep. But again, we have to get to this point to where it's like, okay, there are people out here that, okay. So my question to you is, I've seen people like you. Like, I've seen people like you that has, you know, hasn't had a father figure, has been in the system, like has parents that's been in the system, a very messed up life, but still found a way to get up out of that. What is it that made you make that change? Like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't follow that system. And whenever we can find out what that is, then we need to start putting that in the forefront instead of gangbanging,
yeah,
and shit like that. What do you think it is that made you change, that gave you that shift?
For me personally, my mom, bro. That's literally it. My mom and my little brothers, I guess, because I wanted to set an example for them. But my mom, bro, she's like, that's like my best friend, bro. Like, she's just, she did it. You know what I'm saying? Alone, mm-hmm. She had 4 of us, worked 2-3 jobs most of the time. Just shit you hear all the time. You know what I'm saying? She was just a great mom. And I couldn't have her doing all that for me to be fucking up. You know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
Just trying to pay it forward to her, honestly. Yeah. What about y'all?
I don't know. Because, I mean, I guess I wasn't really raised in the hood for real. But, like we kind of have that similar background. Both of our – we was talking about it the other day. Both of our dads is in fucking prison. Well, mine, he just got out. But his ass was in there for 20 – damn near all my life.
Yeah.
I don't – maybe it was my stepdad that made me not fall into that. But it was just something in me that just made me like, you know what? I want to go against the grain. And maybe that's why I be saying some of the reckless shit that I do. I still have that in me.
Yeah.
But like, I think there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Yeah.
That factor that makes you go against the grain and what you're saying. I think we need to figure out what that is, though. Like, completely.
Yeah, I mean, like... I was talking to my mom the other day, and she was like, and this is going to sound random, but it's going to play into what we're talking about. But she was like, Trey, I figured out what's the problem with your, like, your personality on the podcast. I was like, what's wrong, mom? Tell me. Because she was watching the Christmas episode, and she was just saying, like, I've had an experience that not a lot of other Black people can relate to. Like, both of you guys said, like, your fathers were incarcerated and stuff like that. Like, I didn't have that lifestyle. Like, I grew up, my dad was in the house. I never had those issues. And like, what she was trying to say is like, you just don't talk about that stuff. But I don't think that should be something I don't talk about. I feel like I should still offer that.
That should still be, yeah, that's
my story. So I offer that perspective of people who just live. So for me, my inspiration of just wanting to be great was just the fact that I've seen it be done before. Like, I know it's possible. I seen somebody with the name John Blackshear go out and be great. So I was like, well, shit, I got to do it too.
Now, I ain't gonna lie. Maybe it was my name that made me go for it. I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you. I looked up my name when I was a kid. I was like, a boy named Million, because I thought it was special. I was like, a boy born with the name Million Cooper, and nothing popped up. I was like, okay, Million Connolly Cooper, nothing popped up, and I was just like, fuck, like, why isn't my name here? They should know me for some reason.
Yeah,
damn, maybe that's what made me want to strive for the greatness.
Yeah, I can definitely say like my name is what made me want to strive towards greatness. Like, I seen two people come along named John Solomon Blackshear live amazing lives. My grandfather was an educator, my dad was an engineer. So I feel like I gotta just follow in those footsteps.
What made you, Julian?
Like I said, just my mom, bro, seeing how hard she went for us. It was just like I had to pay that back, pay it forward type of thing. And then wanting to set an example for my little brother, like I said, outside of that, bro. Cause I never loved school. I was one of those kids, like, I always did very well, but I knew my, like, wanting to do well was just to make my mom proud, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I've always just wanted to be someone that my mom could be proud of. So that's really it, bro, for real, for real.
Do you think that she's proud of you right now?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think she's been proud of me. Like, I don't want to say if I died, but let's say, like, my life just, like, paused. I feel like, bro, always, bro, honestly. That's one thing I like about her, too. Like, I've always felt that way. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I could have paused at, like, 7 years old, and she would have just been, like, content with all that I, like, accomplished. You know what I'm saying? So,
right. Yeah, but would you be content with all that you accomplished right now?
Nah.
I was waiting on it.
Nah, not even close. Not to say I'm not thankful, because I think I've gotten to do a lot of amazing things. I've met a lot of amazing people too, which is what I'm most thankful for. But nah, I feel like I have so much left to do. Like, so much left to do.
Damn, why do we do that? Why do we do that as humans? Like, when people look at us, they think that we're doing big things. Like, they look at our podcast and they're like, I've had people be like, damn, you're doing big things. I love how much you grind. I love that you do this and that every day and shit like that. And I'm sitting here like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm nowhere near where I need to be. And it just sounds so disrespectful when I say it to myself, you know?
But I feel like greatness is born in the lack of contention. So, like, you're not going to be great if you're content with the way you look. Like, let's say LeBron. If LeBron was content with a normal 10-year career, he called it quits after his first two rings and said, like, hey, I did what I needed to do and retired after he got that ring in Cleveland, he wouldn't be LeBron James. Yeah. He wasn't content. He went out there. He said, I want to be the greatest of all time. And then after he felt like he reached that point of where he was the greatest of all time, and I agree with him. People may not, but I think LeBron the greatest basketball player of all time. His new goal is, well, fuck, I got three rings. I got multiple MVPs, got this, that, and the third, hella all-star appearances. I just want to play so I can play on the same team as my son. Right. So I feel like he's never been content. Every time he reached the goal, he found that next goal to get. Mm. So I think that's where greatness is born. Always striving for something new. And I feel like the people who fall from grace are the people who fail to find something to yearn again. Like the people who reached their peak and they were just content with it and they don't really care about it no more. So they just fell off.
Right.
That's crazy to think that people really do like reach their peak.
Yeah.
Like, I've never reached my peak in anything. In anything I've done, I've never reached the peak. Like, I mean, I may have gotten, like, first places or trophies, but I've never been somewhere where I was just content with, like, okay, cool, I got my trophy. Now I don't have to worry about nothing else. Is that a negative trait to have, though, bro? Julian, is that a negative trait?
I don't think so, bro. Like, because it was you that said it earlier, Trey, just about, like, relativity, like, because you might have hit your peak, but sometimes you don't think you've hit your peak. And, like, you don't realize it till you look back. You know what I'm saying? Because, like,
yeah,
I don't know, bro. That's a good ass question. Cause I don't know if I feel like I've ever hit my peak either.
Mm.
Cause like, okay. So I hooped in high school. You know what I'm saying? And I could look back now and say I was pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Like, I scored 1,000 points for my career. Like, I started all 4 years on varsity, all that. But I don't feel like I ever hit my peak for real. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm sure if you ask my friends, they'll be like, oh, no, like, your peak was this time or when this happened. But, like, because I feel like I'm the best now I've ever been at hoops. You know what I'm saying? Strange enough. But, yeah, bro, you could accomplish all the things in the world, but peak is, like, a relative term.
Yeah.
Shit, LeBron, man, feel like he hasn't even hit his peak yet. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think he has either. I think he has another year nigga still ain't seen yet.
Right.
He's 36. Still going, got the most 30-point games in the league. I don't care what nobody say. LeBron the greatest basketball player all the time.
So that's crazy that you said that you peaked in high school. Not like you just said that and it kind of blew me. Like you was like one of the popular kids in school.
Yeah, I'd say I was popular for sure.
Do you sometimes like reminisce about high school? Like you miss high school type shit?
Nah, not at all, honestly.
I think you misinterpreted what he said.
No, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, what do you mean by that?
What I'm saying is, so I had a great basketball career by high school standards. And a lot of people would have thought that I would think of that as a peak.
But I don't
I never hit my peak, whether it be for basketball specifically or how you took it too in general. Like, I don't feel like that was my peak at all. You know what I'm
saying? I got you.
Those around me would probably be like, oh no, like that was like a great time for you. Which I mean, yeah, it was cool. Like I liked high school, but like you just asked, like I don't ever miss high school. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. And so another thing I have, like I have a tattoo on my chest that says today is a good day to die. Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have not seen that.
Yeah, I have a tattoo on my chest that says today is a good day to die.
We hoop with our shirts off.
Nah, I don't be taking my shirt
off.
Tank. Yeah, but it's on my chest that says today is a good day to die.
I ain't never read that. Damn.
Yeah. And at first I was thinking about getting that shit taken off, but then I really think about it. Like, although I haven't reached my peak yet, right? And I'm not satisfied with where I am, I'm satisfied with how much I've tried.
Yes.
And I can honestly say that if every single day that I podcast and I walk and I go my ass home, I honestly say, you know what? If I got hit by a car right now, I'm cool with dying.
Yeah.
Because at least I know that I tried my hardest, you know?
Yeah.
That to me is like the ultimate satisfaction.
Being like, regardless of what you think happens in the next life, if you're content with what you did here, or if you're proud of what you've laid or the foundation you've laid here, I feel like that's a strong.
I'm not proud of where I'm at, but I'm proud of what you've done.
Like,
to where I'm at right now, if that makes any sense.
To the point where we were talking about earlier, like Martin Luther King was assassinated. His life was cut short. But do you think like he wasn't proud of the progression he was able to make and the foundation he was able to lay before he passed away? I feel like he would be very proud of that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that's not something a lot of people could have ever done or would have ever done. So I feel like that's a deep ass tattoo.
That's what I'm saying. At first I wanted to get it off, but I'm like, I want to keep shit. Cause I want to live my life every day to where I'm like, you know what? If I was to die right now, I'd be satisfied.
Julian looking like, bro, you crazy as hell. Nah,
that's just wild to me, bro. That's fire for sure. It's like, it's a little morbid, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm big on law of attraction and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like the premise of it, the concept of it, I love it though. And I'm kind of not envious, but I wish I could say that. You know what I'm saying? I'd say I'm very content with like how I've treated people, how I've treated my friends, my family, everything like that. But in terms of my day-to-day life, because sometimes, bro, I'll be sitting in school, in class, I'm like, bro, I don't really want to be here. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
It's like, on a day, like, in general, I think I can agree with you, Millions, but on a day-to-day, I can't say every day I could wake up and I could look back and be like, yeah, like, that would have been a good day to die. You know what I'm saying? Because yeah, some days, bro, I just be feeling like I'm fucking wasting my time, bro, whether it be at school or whatever, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So, like, with you being at school, do you feel like it's taken away from your music?
Oh, for sure. Like, for sure. It's hard to, like, because obviously that's my first goal. That's my first focus. You know what I'm saying? It's all about prioritization. And I haven't reached a point yet, I don't know if I ever will, where I'll put music in front of that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
ooh,
although music is, I know that's my like core passion. It's just like, whether it be societal standards, whether it be like me wanting going back to making my mom proud, whatever it may be, school is just like, I got to finish that shit. And then, you know what I'm saying? Then I'll tap in type of thing. So, yeah, bro.
Hey, bro. So I just came up with the question of the day. I was going to come up with something, but I have a question of the day for both of y'all.
Okay.
All right. So obviously we want to be podcasters and you want to be a rapper, right? How much are you willing to sacrifice for your dreams?
Ooh, that depends. Are we, because sacrifice is, again, that's another relative thing.
Okay. Would you go homeless for your dreams?
Would I go homeless for my dreams? I don't think so.
Ooh, I don't, what about you, Trey?
See, like, my perspective is a little different because I've been homeless before. So it's like, that's like, I'm not going to say that's normal, but like, I've been at that state for long enough periods to be like, yeah, for sure. For to do music, I would do that like that. I wouldn't even think about it. I'd probably do it for years, honestly. If I knew at the end of that was like, I had the platform that I want, for sure. I wouldn't even think about
it. All I needed was a platform.
Right.
So you wouldn't sacrifice your living, the way you're living right now, for your dreams.
Like I said, I feel like sacrifice relative. And I think he played into that point.
I'm like talking about like you would lose your home for your dreams.
That's what I'm saying. Sacrifice is relative. I wouldn't be comfortable losing my home, but sacrificing money, time, and effort, that's something I would always put forward to make my dream a possibility.
Okay, so Julian, you said you would give up, like you would be homeless for your dreams. Would you sacrifice your soul?
My soul? I'm not in all that shit.
Nah, I'm fucking with you, bro. I'm fucking with you, but that's a note. If you mean to tell me if they come up with...
We asked both rappers, would you sell your soul?
I'm saying, you might sell your soul.
It's a valid question, but I'd like to think, and it's easy for me to say now, because in the moment, you never know, but I know myself pretty well. I don't think I would be on that shit, bro. That whole, like, whatever you want to call it, Illuminati, Freemates, all that shit. Nah, I don't think so. But... But what about you though, Millions? Like,
you better than me, nigga. You better than me. You better than me. I don't know, nigga. I've sacrificed so much already. I mean, a starving man might do some crazy things. Let me stop, man.
Nah, that's facts though. Oh, and then what about going back to like sacrificing your living situation? Would you go homeless for your dream?
For sure. For sure. Because I told you, like, this is my plan A.
Yeah.
This is my plan A, and I mean that. Like, if I was to... Damn. I guess I like talking about death for some reason. I don't know why, but, like, it's such a crazy thing. But, like, especially when I watched that movie with Vincent Van Gogh.
Oh, yeah, remember? Yeah.
It's just, like, even if people don't appreciate me now, there's a possibility that they may appreciate me in the future.
Yeah.
And like maybe aliens stumble upon our podcast and just start fucking loving us, you know? Like
that's probably hella bread.
That would be crazy. But like like that's what I keep going for. I really do want this to be something big.
Man. Yeah, me too. And I feel like we definitely have the foundation to create something big. And I feel like you do too. So what are some inspirations that cause you to like start rapping, or who are some inspirations like straight musical, like before we talk about family members and stuff, like straight rappers, like who inspired you to have your flow, your style, and things of that nature?
That's such a great question. There's so many people I can name, but like
give me three, top three.
All right, so I would say the first person that like I listened to them and I was like, yo, like, this nigga's really nice and like I want to do this was definitely Nas. The first time I listened to Illmatic in full, I was just like, it was like seventh grade around there, and I was just like, yo, like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't even know niggas could like bend work, because I grew up listening to Wayne. That's yeah. like my most listened to artist, and obviously his punchlines are very crazy, so I would hear catchy shit like that, and I like G-Unit too. I love 50 Cent, but when I heard Illmatic, Nas, that's when I was like, yo, like, this nigga's like, it's like deeper than just like Weezy F Baby and the F is for Phenomenal, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's a little deeper. So Nas was the first guy, and then from there, bro, like, because I feel like I listen to a pretty wide range of music, and I just like songwriting. So like, it's not even always rappers. Like, I'm a big Ed Sheeran fan, and he's a big inspiration for me in terms of like how I'll structure my verses sometimes, or like how I'll phrase things. So I'd say like Ed Sheeran. I love Earl Sweatshirt.
Earl's my nigga.
Earl is, y'all, wait, hold on. You heard his new album?
Yeah, that, listen to it.
Bro, that's probably his best album since, I want to say, Doris.
Yeah, I was like, fucking with it.
Like,
I thought it was short, though.
It was definitely short, but it had, like, because, hold on, I'll have to pull up his catalog. I ain't gonna cap. Who made me fall in love with music is Earl Sweatshirt and Tyler, the Creator. Those really? Were two people, yes, those were two people where I was like, damn, like, although it's not your normal people, like, I was like 12, 11 listening
Earl
to these
names. Definitely underrated, yeah. too.
Like,
he's underrated.
They showed me, like, you ain't gotta be the standard, like, you don't have to sag your pants and talk degrade women. Like, you can talk about butterflies and shit, and pregnant ladies,
random shit, and just be weird, bro. Yeah,
and like, nah. But because, like, I felt like every album after Doris, for real, like, I don't like shit, I don't go outside. Like, I didn't really, because that's when he started using that grainy vocal shit, and I ain't really fuck with that. And he kind of kept it with the new album Sick, but like, revitalized it in a way where I was like, all right, I can fucks with this. Like, I still listen to every Earl Sweatshirt album, but I still fucks with it.
See, it's funny, and that's what I like about Earl, because like, he's similar all throughout his catalog, but at the same time, he has those different sounds. Because for me, I don't like shit, I don't go outside. That's my favorite project by him, but it's not
my favorite is
musically,
but that's
because of when it dropped. Because like, and this is what I was gonna ask y'all too, like, timing is so important, bro, for everything in life.
Hell yeah.
But especially with me for music. So it's like, when he dropped that was 2015. And like I said, like, I've been homeless before. And the first time that my fam and I got evicted was 2015. So like, that album, like, that shit just put me in a different zone. It just really helped me, like, process. Because that's the type of time I was on. I was like, bro, like, I was down bad. I was like, yeah, like, I really don't feel like going outside type shit. You know what I'm
saying?
So that's
crazy.
Yeah, that album really just like.
How did you not like shit? I'm looking at it. He had Good Grief. I bet that shit was hard.
I'm not saying. I'm saying that's when I started realizing, seeing the shift, because Earl went from a witty lyricist who prided off of like making you laugh and using random funny bars. Like, that was the Earl I had fell in love with. Mm-hmm. So when he started exploring his deeper, more depressed side, it kind of made me veer away from what, because it went away from what it was, because he started doing it with songs like Chum. And I was like, okay, it's cool for a song or two, but throughout that whole project, it was that whole, it kind of took me into that place where he was. And I didn't like that at that time. I respect the album.
I'm not gonna
today.
Lie. I liked, my favorite was some rap song. And it's so people don't even like, it's just like, it just brings me through the motions. And I just like shit that like can bring me through the motions. Like, I don't like when artists just focus on one mood throughout the whole album. And like, it felt the most human to me when I heard some raps.
That's how I feel about Wolf by Tyler, the Creator.
Wolf was,
that's probably my favorite. That's probably my favorite album.
Wolf was hard too,
because a lot of the things, like, outside of the abandonment issues that Tyler faces, a lot of the things when it came to finding himself when it comes to image
goddamn figuring out who he is, being awkward. Like a lot of the shit that he dealt with, not really knowing how to communicate with girls, because I went to all boys school at the time. So all of those things he was struggling with, like I was having those same struggles. So knowing that somebody else had those problems was like, wow, like, yeah. I'm not alone.
He was talking about his dad in that too.
Yeah, like, he was talking about his dad. Yeah, answer. Why won't he answer?
I cried to that one. I cried to
Max. Nah, that's probably my favorite Tyler album. Probably, yeah. It's not, well, album, yeah, because I really like Bastard. That's probably my favorite.
Bastard is the classic. Okay, you go back to the classic.
Okay.
Nah, that's just different.
All right, so let's just speak 2021. Top three albums of 2021.
Can I put Gunna on there, even though it came out 2022?
Nope. 21. I got my three off the top of my head.
I'm tripping. I know this. I'd say, bro.
Let me look up like some rap albums.
All my shit is gonna catch y'all off guard. Y'all not gonna know none of these niggas. I'm probably audience, fan base, my peoples, listeners. I'm about to put y'all on to some shit. All right, everybody. All right so number one.
All right, yeah, Trey.
All right, so number one, Sometimes I Might Be Introvert by Little Sims. Oh, that album is dope as fuck.
Super hard.
Like, super hard. Like, it's like Little Sims is like, she's this British rapper. And like, what is, like, she's just basically going through like her childhood and battling like being the most talented or one of the most talented people where she's from, but still like just wanting and having all this fame and notoriety come to her, but battling with the fact that like she just wants to be herself and stay and just live the way that she's used to living. Sometimes I Might Be Introvert is like one of the best albums I've heard in a while. After that is Don't Go Telling Your Mama by Topaz Jones. And in that album, he's basically like exploring what it's like growing up while black and highlighting the dysfunctions and shit that he's seen in his old family. And then Mac Hami.
Okay.
What was it? I forgot the name. It's like Salute to Haiti or some shit. That album.
I think it's Pray for Haiti.
Yeah. That album was good as fuck. I just wished I knew what he looked like.
Right. That nigga is an enigma. I think that's the word for it.
Yeah.
He's very mysterious, but yeah, he's fit though for sure.
He's like a
Little Sims Trey. She's hard, bro.
Hard.
Her
as
shit
fuck.
Is up there for me too. Honestly, her shit is up there. I've never listened to Topaz Jones, so I'm gonna have to tap into that.
Give him a listen. He's like, he reminds me a lot of like an Aminé type dude. Like, okay. it's like a funk rap type deal. Okay. Like, yeah.
Nah, I just put his name in my notes, so I'm gonna tap it. I'm gonna get back to you on that.
I know you probably got Nas. I know you got Nas in there somewhere, don't you?
Yeah, Nas dropped the album last year. That was dope.
He dropped two actually last year.
Yeah.
Nah, Nas wouldn't be in my
top three. Okay. Go ahead and give us your top three and then I'll give you mine.
So mine would the one that's for sure in there would be Dave. We're All Alone in This Together. It's funny you said Lil Sims because Dave is from the UK too.
Yeah.
That nigga's, bro. Y'all niggas got to tap in if you haven't already. That nigga's different, bro. Like, I think he's the best rapper alive right now. Like, yeah, like that nigga's different. So Dave, We're All Alone in This Together.
That's a deep title.
It's like a
especially coming out of quarantine. That's a deep title.
Right. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
It's kind of self-explanatory. Like, you don't gotta think too much into the title. Like, it's just kind of that duality of like we're alone, but like we're all connected in a way. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, Dave for sure. I honestly would probably put Little Sims in mine too, for real. So I'll put her in there. And then my third would either be Mick Jenkins, Elephant in the Room.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, either that or honestly, bro, just off how much I was listening to it, either Mick. Or I would say, honestly, probably Baby Keem, the Melodic Blues.
Melodic Blues was great.
Yeah.
It's my top five.
Yeah, I love Baby Keem. Yeah, but what about you, Millions?
So with me, number one probably is Montero with that nigga.
Lil Nas.
Lil Nas X. Yeah. Okay.
I'm capping. I was like, it was a dope project.
I'm fucking around. I'm gonna be honest with y'all, man. I was selfish as hell with my playlist this year, last year. Yeah. I can't even lie. Like, I just was pumping my own music. I had no time to really tap into other music artists and shit like that. I actually listened through their whole entire, you know, album. Exactly. But the ones that I did listen to all the way through was Jasmine Sullivan's Hotels. Okay. For some reason, I just really fucked with it. It kind of made me love women a little bit more because I hated them at one point. Like, I hate how they was hoes and shit like that. But she made it like she just explained it like they're just like niggas. They're human. So I really did like Hotels. I got Hotels. I listened to Drake's album like a motherfucker. It wasn't his best by far. But it was so catchy. Lover
Boy. I think it's overhated.
Yeah, it was so catchy to me, man.
Not overrated, overhated.
Yeah, for sure, bro. For sure. And then Summer Walker is another woman that I was listening to. Summer Walker's new album. That shit was fire. Oh wait, I'm tripping. Sorry. Take Summer out. Call Me If You Get Lost.
Yeah. I'm tripping hard.
Okay. Call Me If You Get Lost was so hard.
You Get Famous. Julian, You Get Famous, right?
Yeah.
You have an entanglement with a nice young lady. Mm-hmm. One night, you finish, you know, go dump the condom. You doing the Drake? You putting some hot sauce in there too?
Honestly, bro. If I ever get that famous, yeah, I'll do some shit like that. No, 100%. No, like, no joke. Bro, like, that co-parenting shit, for me at least, that's, like, one of my biggest fears, bro. Like,
yeah.
And especially on some shit like that, where a girl, like, nah, like.
Yeah, you think he really did that, though?
I don't think he actually did it, but I honestly would do that if I was.
I mean, either if I'm Drake, or... I'm doing that. I'm doing that.
Oh, God. Because, bro, they got so much to gain off him, bro. Like, and that's a whole human.
And he can afford another. He can afford another 20 kids and still be straight.
20, 30. He can really damn near afford him a little city. Like, no cap.
Right. It's just the emotional and, like, the mental aspect of it that, like, hell nah, bro. I'm not going through all that with someone who would do that. You know what I'm saying? It's one thing if... Apparently his was an accident, so that's on him. You know what I'm saying? But for a girl to go fishing for a condom and yeah, nah, that shit is dead, bro.
So do you plan on having a? My bad. Go ahead.
No. I was gonna say I'll throw whatever in the condom to make sure.
So you plan on having a family? I know you said that co-parenting shit is dead. So
for sure. Yeah,
what's your ideal family to you?
I love kids, bro. I mean, like I see myself. At least 3 kids, bro. At least. Like, if I was, like, rich as fuck, if I was breaded, bro, I would adopt, too. That's the thing. So I would have, like, 8-9 kids. If I was super breaded, I'd have, like, 8-9 kids for sure.
Don't get this nigga started.
What about y'all?
Yeah, I want a family, but I don't want no more than, like, 4 kids. And then I want to adopt as well, but I don't want no more than, like, 4 biological. And then from there, I'll adopt as need be.
Okay.
I need 10 pure breed millions. Nah,
I told y'all he was breeding.
10 purebred millions. Nah, I'm fucking around. I do want 10 kids, though. I do want 10 minimum. And that's just minimum.
10 minimum?
Minimum, bro.
That's nigga need to get started now. I told him that, bro. Just go and bust some down.
Nah, I'd rather start when I'm like 40, 50.
You want to start with 10 kids at the age of 40?
Yeah. You're gonna be an old ass pops.
You're gonna be like,
but that's what, bro. There's studies that show that older parents make better children.
I mean, my parents are old.
My mom was 16.
My parents had me at 38.
They was up there. Yeah, they was financially stable, right?
Yeah,
I'm sure they was financially stable. And shit, that's all that's really needed.
But they weren't planning on having me though. Like my mom didn't even know she could get pregnant when I came about. So like they were actually looking to adopt, and it's a crazy story. My dad has probably, I can count on one hand how many whoopings I've gotten in my life. My dad probably gave me half of one. Wow. So like when they went to adopt, they were like, my dad was like, oh, I can't whoop the kid. Oh, no, we're not doing that. So they left. And then that next week, my mom found out she was pregnant because she kept like throwing up or she was having pains in her stomach or something. Mm-hmm. And then she went to the doctor and found out she was pregnant. But like, if that would have never happened, I would have had an adopted brother running around the house with me. But that's how they found out, basically. And my dad never laid a hand on me. So what? Me and my dad got in one fight.
How many siblings do y'all have?
I have one sister.
I have four siblings, two little brothers, two little sisters.
I have one older sister.
So you're the oldest. Mm-hmm. Your oldest sister.
See, I'm the youngest.
Okay. Damn, two brothers, two sisters, man. Damn, that's crazy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's just amazing. Like, when you actually sit there and watch a person grow, like, I've seen my little brother grow into a Navy. Like, he's in the Navy right now. It's just amazing seeing that. But just imagine if it was my own kid. That shit would be great, yeah. Bro. Oh, my God. I can't wait till I have my 10, bro. Minimum. Minimum.
That's crazy.
Best
of luck to you.
Appreciate it.
Passion. We've spoken on this podcast, this episode specifically. We spoke a lot of inspiration, things that we're passionate about, the willingness to move or be uncomfortable for our passions, right?
Mm-hmm.
What does passion mean when it comes to, when it's being combated with like the means to an end? So, like, that was a question you posed to us. So I want you to, passion versus a means to an end, elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, so it's like I said, bro. So like for me personally, rapping, I know in my core that I love doing it just to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, if I never made a dime from it, but I was able to build a platform, I feel like I would live a fulfilled life. You know what I'm saying? But it's like rapping, I don't want to say it's not feasible, but it's not the most, or it wasn't the most feasible option for me. Luckily, I was blessed. I feel like I'm fairly intelligent. I was always good at school. So my first focus was always, all right, I'm going to go to school in order to get a degree that'll put me in position to get a good job that'll help me take care of my family. So it's like passion versus means to an end. Your passion isn't always, I guess I would say, the easiest way to provide for yourself. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or it's not always the best way, just in terms of abundance. So it's like, if I'd have started rapping at 14, and I'm sure by now I'd have done a couple shows, you know what I'm saying? But I don't think I would have been in a position where it's like, once I degree after this summer with my master's, I feel like I'll be in a position to get a fairly good job, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's that constant battle I'd be going through, bro. And it's always at the beginning of semesters too. Like, this school shit, bro, sometimes it's just a bother. I know y'all boys can relate to that.
Hell yeah.
Bro, sometimes I'm like,
I'm still working on the first one.
Yeah, right. Just like I could be doing podcast shit right now. Like, I could be doing this, I could be doing that. Like, I'd be in class a lot of times where I just be thinking the lyrics, bro. I've written whole verses in class, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I've edited a whole episode while sitting in accounting. Edited a whole audio file while sitting in accounting.
Exactly. So when I posed that question, it was just that premise of just like, you, because y'all boys, obviously you're both in school, so it's like clearly that was an option for y'all too, that y'all thought was at a point at least you thought it was like, all right, I should do this just because I have the ability to, you know what I'm saying? So it's like just that constant back and forth. What about y'all boys though? Like, how do y'all feel about it?
I feel like you should always go for the things that you're passionate about. So like, Even if that means, like I said, like my uncomfortability is like dedicating time, dedicating effort, dedicating money and things, even to a certain extent, how I live, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's my form of saying, like, all right, I'm not scared to go out on a limb and chase this dream. So I feel like your passion, like Million said, is plan A. It should always be plan A. You should never take a dream and be like, all right, I'm in college right now, so I'm going to focus on that because that's the more feasible thing to do. And then after that, we'll focus on the things I like to do. No, like, you should be, the thing that you find that you're passionate about, that's your plan A. That's what you want to do in life. So pursue it. And if it doesn't work out, it's always good to have, in Million's case, a criminal justice degree to follow on.
My case of business management, yours is social work, right? So like we have something to fall back on, but at the end of the day, like J. Cole has a degree, Earth Gang, both of those, they're both of their members graduated from Hampton University. So I think Lil Wayne even has a college degree.
He might, honestly. I know
Lil Wayne. He went to school.
Very intelligent.
So yeah. Even 2 Chainz, hell, I think no, he had a 4-1. I don't think he went, but like that none of that rappers. Yeah. Like people who have these celebrity roles, or they're rappers, they're podcasters. A lot of them have shit to fall back on. Like not everybody's like a Young Thug or a Gunna, or even in our case, a Joe Rogan, where Joe Rogan just said, fuck school, I'm just gonna chase being a comedian, and then fell upon podcasting later on in life. Like some people have that degree. So I feel like just because you're doing something else doesn't mean that you're not chasing your passion as well.
Yeah, so, yeah. Nah, that's facts, bro. And honestly, I appreciate you saying that. I definitely needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's big facts. And with me, something that you was just talking about, Trey, you was talking about how like you have to follow your passion.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say that when I was in high school, I was probably the most scared I've ever been. Really, my whole school career, I've been the most scared. Like, just trying to get to, like, I was scared to join the basketball team because I was like, damn, man, maybe I'm not good enough to be on the basketball team. And I never joined. And I regretted that at one point in time. And I had a whole bunch of other things that I was like, you know what? I want to do this, but I'm kind of scared to do. And this is the one thing that this is something that I've done, even though I've been scared to do. And I just want to see it through, you know?
Yeah.
So it has no choice but to be a means to end to me. Cause I don't think I've ever tried so hard on something in my life. And I'm proud of that. But of course I want more.
You know? Yeah, for sure.
I want to start reaping the benefits of this labor. Cause nigga, we put labor in.
We work on it.
Cause nigga, we put labor in, bro. But it is kind of scary to think like, you know, maybe this hard work will never, maybe we won't get anything to show for it.
Yeah. You
know, that's one thing that does scare me, but fuck it. Even you learn something from anything, you know? So we've learned something very valuable within this whole entire podcast experience, even if we didn't get to where we were trying to be.
Yeah.
And as long as we keep on going, we'll keep on learning. It may not get us where we want to be, but we've learned a valuable lesson somewhere in it. So I just want to keep on learning.
So to end the episode,
of us, we're going to be able to look back on this moment, and it's going to be special. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
This is like I said, bro, it's weird. Like, it's still weird to this day. Like, I still don't really think of myself as a rapper, but it's like shit like this. It's all building upon it, you know what I'm saying? So it's needed, bro, for sure.
Yes, sir. No problem at all. All right. I'm about to stop the recording.
All right. Do that. Go ahead. Oh, also stay in tune for the end because we're gonna play one of Jules. I could call you Jules, right?
Yeah, sure.
We're gonna play one of Jules' songs in the end. So stay in tune.
And we're gonna make sure y'all see how we found him, man. Again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you again, Joe, for coming through.
Nah, for sure, bro. Thank y'all boys for having me, man. For real, for real. It was a pleasure, bro.
Yes, sir.
I do. Smoothie. Look, hey. Just cause I'm approachable don't mean I'm feeling sociable. Just because I'm stoic doesn't mean I'm not emotional. You into playing games, but that don't mean a nigga's coachable. Cause I done shed some tears, man, I'm talking like an ocean full of this some trash shit, but that don't mean that I'm disposable. Like ain't one woman's trash, just another woman's treasure. I try to weigh my options, but you make it hard to measure. Cause truth be told, you broke the scale. Girl, I think you're dope as hell. And no, I ain't been close to jail. But if you let me cuff, I wouldn't ever wanna post a bail. Rest these niggas sleep on you, but baby, I ain't woke as hell. I'm hoping it's like spoken bread, the way you feel this verse. Been dying for your love, please don't put me in a hearse. for better or for worse, please just say that I do. I do, I do, I do.